Chapter 4. Author's Notes. Specific warnings for this chapter. Canon typical depictions of dubiously consensual domestic violence, and brief mentions of suicidal ideation. Cherish your mind as diligently as Che cherishes his pack. The whole day had felt like a dream, and Che wasn't about to question it. He'd spent all day with Kim, and then the guy had driven him home and not left. "I have to do some work," he said, and Che thought that that would be it. He'd spent all day with Kim, and then the guy had driven him home and not left. "I have to do some work," he said, and Che thought that would be it. But then Kim had pulled out his phone and sat on the couch typing emails. If Che had to sit still wearing a shirt Kim had scent marked and watch those beautifully long fingers caress his phone, Che was going to do something even crazier than offer his neck on a public street. Oh God, he really had done that, hadn't he? "I'm gonna practice outside," he said, and Kim hummed absently. He was concentrating on something, an attractive furrow between his eyebrows. Che grabbed his guitar and beat a strategic retreat to the porch swing. He truly did try to practice. His fingers ran over the strings. But really, he was remembering how close Kim's mouth had been to his throat when he ducked in to scent him. He was thinking about how Kim had had a lot of opportunities to buy scent blockers today, but hadn't. He was cataloging every smile he'd won from the other boy. They were small, secret things, but they had been so real. Che couldn't help wiggling in his seat. He was doing it. He was making Kim feel safe. Maybe even happy. He managed a few more minutes of mindless strumming before he was distracted by the squeaky sound of the front gate. The scent hit him immediately after. Home and pack and pain. Che shot up from his seat, dumping his guitar onto the ground. He was running before the gate had finished opening. "Hia? Hia!" It was his brother's voice that called. "Che!" It was his brother who caught him up in his arms and swung him off the ground. Porsche. Porsche was back. Che burst into tears and clung to him, making Porsche stumble back with a laugh. "Shh, it's okay, pup," Porsche's familiar, plovet voice said in his ear. Che pulled back and surveyed him frantically. "You're hurt. I can smell it. Where are you hurt?" Porsche pulled him in close again and tucked his face into the crook of Che's neck, scenting him. "I'm okay." But he wasn't okay. He smelled like old blood. He smelled like he'd been crying. Che rubbed his cheek on the top of Porsche's head. "I've got you," Che said, choking back the other sobs that wanted to escape. "You're home. I've got you." Porsche shuddered in his arms and then melted into him. Che shifted, bracing himself under his brother's weight, taking his turn holding them up. Che took a deep breath, and then he smelled it. There was the scent of another alpha on his brother. It was smoky and rich, but it wasn't pack. It didn't belong on Porsche. It wasn't coming from Porsche's clothes. It was coming from his skin, like the alpha's scent was inside him. Che's breath was coming in rumbling growls now. He ran his hands up and down Porsche's back, marking him with his own scent. This strange alpha was strong. But Che was strong, too. He brought all his scent to the surface, and let it flow over Porsche like a warm wave. It fought the scent of the other alpha, eating it away like stain remover. Porsche took a deep breath. Che didn't know what had happened, but he knew what his brother needed. He tugged Porsche gently towards the house. "Come on," he said. "Make a nest for me, hmm?" "I'm fine," Porsche protested again, still tucked up against Che. "Good for you. I'm a huge mess," Che said. Porsche craned to look at Che's face while they walked. "Why? What happened?" "Silly Hia. My big brother left me for a month and turned up smelling like strange alpha and sadness." "Oh," Porsche said in a small voice. "I'm sorry, Che." "You don't need to apologize," Che assured him, keeping his voice strong. "I'm worried about you, that's all." Porsche wrapped an arm around his shoulder. "I'm here." And that was what mattered at the end of the day. Che herded him inside, because the outdoors wasn't safe. It was too exposed. They needed the safety of their four walls. But when he opened the door, he was confronted with Kim startling to his feet, hand going to his jacket pocket. Porsche straightened and pushed Che behind him. "Who the fuck are you?" he demanded. Kim snarled right back, body gone tense and dangerous.
"Hia, this is my friend, P. Kim," Che said hurriedly, ducking back between them. "P. Kim, this is Porsche."
"Why do you smell like him?" Porsche asked Che, a note of growl slipping into his voice.
"Because we're friends, and he bought me this shirt today," Che said firmly. "Listen to me. Hey, listen. I'm safe, and you're safe. There's no threat here. We're going to go upstairs and make a cuddle pile, and nothing bad will happen."
Kim made a noise in the back of his throat, something that might have been a whimper in anyone else. It was such a startling sound from Kim that Che took a step towards him without consciously deciding to do it. Kim pulled back, his eyes wide, and Che realized just how much authority he'd been pouring into his voice. His scent was absolutely everywhere, pressing close to everyone in the room. Porsche was relaxing under it, but Kim looked ready to bolt. Che was supposed to be careful with Kim. This was not careful.
"Shit," Che hissed. "Porsche."
Porsche understood, because he was the best brother, and he always understood. He let his own scent out, caramelly and sweet. Exactly the kind of Pack Omega someone could trust. "Hey, kid, you're okay. Che doesn't mean it like that. He's not going to mess with you." Usually Omegas could calm other Omegas, but Kim did not look calmed. He took another step back, his scent gone rancid. "I didn't mean to jump down your throat," Porsche continued, in that earnest way that drew people to him. "My bad. It's been a rough couple of days." Che's heart wrenched at the obvious truth in those words. He reached back and slipped his hand into his brother's. He needed Porsche to be away from anyone who would hurt him. "I'm leaving," Kim said, all in a rush. It yanked a flare of distress from Che so strong that Porsche and Kim both winced.
"Sorry,"
Che said, clamping down onto his scent and scrunching into himself to make himself non-threatening.
"Sorry. P. Kim, of course you can leave."
"Are you sure?" Kim said, combative. Porsche grumbled under his breath. Che rubbed his hand with his thumb. He didn't need his brother to protect his honor, thanks.
I'm very sure, Che said, keeping his eyes lowered. No threat here. But I do like it when you're around.
More honestly, the thought of Kim running off when he was upset was making Che actually nauseated.
So make me stay, Kim challenged. You know you can.
Portia's grumbles turned worried. Wait, has someone been using alpha commands on you, Nong? It only ever took a hint of injustice to get Porsche on someone's side.
Change of plans, Che. I've gotta kick some ass. Names, kid. Give me names.
Porsche was Che's hero. Kim looked even more overwhelmed than before.
What the fuck?
We can do that later, Hia, Che promised. P. Kim, you know I'm not going to force you to do anything.
Actually, I don't know that, Kim fired back. I don't know you, and you don't know me.
The words hurt, even though he understood why Kim said them. Che steadied himself as much as possible before saying,
I hope that changes someday. We're going upstairs. You can join if you want. If I don't see you, thanks for two amazing days. They were really...
A lump formed in Che's throat.
Really great. I'm sorry if I scared you.
Porsche, come on.
He tried to guide Porsche up the stairs, but his brother didn't budge. He had a pup in his sights now, and Porsche didn't let those go easily.
It's Kim, right?
Kim. Nong. You smell really stressed, Porsche said, tipping into gentleness. When was the last time you've done any pack scenting?
Come on, you and me. Omega's together. I promise I'll keep us safe from the big bad Alpha.
Yeah,
Che protested, mortified. Kim hesitated, and for 1 second, Che let himself imagine what it would be like if the people he cared about actually stayed with him. And then Kim turned on his heel and walked out. Kim barely managed to make his Omega obey him long enough to walk away from Che. The Omega was howling in outrage.
It wanted to be back with that friendly new Omega and the Alpha who had taken over their lives and never once demanded submission. It had reacted so strongly to Che's display of strength that Kim had known immediately he couldn't stay there. He could not be in the same room as Che when he was like that. He knew what his Omega wanted, and he knew what Kim could handle, and he knew they were not the same. Kim's Omega didn't care that it was only a matter of time before Porsche recognized him and ruined his whole plan. It didn't care that Kim had fought his entire life for every tiny scrap of independence, and that Kim wasn't about to give it up to the first Alpha who promised them safety. The Omega didn't think. It didn't plan. It just wanted. Kim flung himself into his car and tore out of the driveway. When he'd made it a respectable distance away from the Kitasawats, he yanked the car over to the side of the road, threw it in park, and put his head down on the steering wheel. His Omega wanted him to turn around. It wanted that more than it had wanted anything in years, and Kim hated it. He wanted to tear it out of himself. He wanted to shoot it through his own forehead.
Well, fuck. Kim pulled out his phone with shaking hands. He pulled up the person he was supposed to text when it felt like this, and sent, Hey. The reply came 3 minutes later. From Gun Emoji. I need 1 hour to get to you. Confirm. Yes. Are you home? No. go home and hold your guitar until I get there. The blue one. Confirm. Yes. Good. 1 hour. Kim eased the car back onto the road. 1 hour. He could last an hour. Kim didn't bother to turn on a light when he got to his apartment. He picked up his blue Fender and put his fingers on the strings. He didn't try to play, because he already knew the notes wouldn't come. It was completely dark in his apartment when his door slid open. That door was locked, Kim said on principle. I'm sure it was, Vegas said easily, sauntering in to stand in front of the couch where Kim was sitting. Why is it dark in here? Does it matter? You're such a dramatic bitch. Vegas surveyed the room. The shadows painted him in shades of monochrome. His red silk shirt turned black. His silhouette was comfortable and casual, like it always was. Arguing with Vegas was like trying to nail a cloud to the wall, but Kim gamely tried anyway. Blue is not a type of guitar, you know. I really don't care, Pop. Don't call me that. Vegas scoffed and began pacing the perimeter of Kim's apartment. It was pointless to stop him, Kim knew by long, exhaustive practice. He let his cousin trace his familiar path through the living room, kitchen, study, bedrooms. Vegas was on the same strong scent blockers as Kim, sourced from the same supplier. But Kim could still smell spice and danger. He smelled like pack. Like home. Vegas had presented extremely early. No one had really known what to do with a 10-year-old Omega heir, and so Korn and Gunn had mostly left Vegas to his own instincts. And a newly presented Omega's instincts always ran towards pack, towards pups. Vegas spent that first year herding 7-year-old Kim into various nests he'd constructed and plopping a baby macaw into his lap. Vegas used to spend hours scenting them, rubbing his chin over their heads, running his little hands through their hair. No one had thought much about it, until a bodyguard had spoken sharply to Kim one day, and Vegas had launched himself at the guy with a knife. Their fathers had kept them apart after that, but the bond was formed, deep down to the chemical level. Vegas was the only member of Kim's family who'd been in his apartment. He was simultaneously the family member Kim most trusted and least trusted. They walked a strange line, the Therapanukul Omegas. Good thing they were both adept at balancing. That couch is new, Vegas commented, coming back into the living room. He was a dark gray outline, speckled with color where the lights from the other buildings came through Kim's windows. Are you done? Kim snapped. Play nice, Kim. You contacted me, remember? Kim put his guitar aside and stood up. I wish I hadn't. Sure you do. Vegas took a step closer, and Kim's brain blared a warning alarm, even as his Omega took a sigh of relief. Vegas was actively plotting against Kim. Kim knew that. He hated him for it. Vegas had a strong motive to kill him, and he knew that, too. Kim's Omega didn't care. Step back, Kim ordered. No. Vegas moved closer, and Kim absolutely refused to move backwards. They ended up close enough to scent, and Vegas did, leaning in to take a deep inhale from Kim's neck. I can smell him on you, the Kitasawat Alpha. Kim didn't bother to ask how he knew about that. Vegas was like Tenkun. He always knew everything. Kim swallowed and tried not to breathe in any of that seductive, familiar smell of a Pack Omega. It's the job. How long has he been the job? Does it fucking matter? In the last 2 days, you've taken out a bar full of guys and texted me. So yeah, I'd say it matters. I'm fine. Vegas heard the weakness in it. Anyone could have. He put a hand on Kim's shoulder and let it rest there, heavy. Where are your guns, Kim? The night after Kim presented, Vegas had snuck into Kim's bedroom. He'd been a teenager by then, all bruised cheekbones and slender limbs. He'd brushed Kim's hair out of his eyes and said, "Fuck, I'm sorry, pup. Give me your phone." He'd put a private number into Kim's contacts and said, "When you want to shoot yourself in the head, text me first." Now, face to face in the dark, Kim said, "Couch, bookshelf, cupboard, under my pillow." Vegas's eyes glittered. "Do you want me to kill the little alpha for you?"
"No!"
The word echoed between them. Kim realized he'd brought both hands up to grab Vegas's wrist, like he could physically hold him back from hurting Che. Vegas watched him, assessing. "I see. And, yeah, if anyone did, it was Vegas. Vegas had smelled of strange alphas since he'd been 13.
"I can't turn it off."
The words felt like they were being pulled out of Kim's spine.
"It just won't shut up about how I need to make him smile and make him happy and touch him and...
Kim viciously clamped down on his words. Vegas squeezed his shoulder, and Kim clung to his wrist even tighter.
"I need it to shut up," he finally said.
Vegas nodded. "All right." The way he said it, like Kim was fixable, made Kim want to lean forward and bury himself in his arms. Vegas pushed him backwards until Kim's back hit a wall. Kim just let him do it, letting his hands fall to his sides. He knew what Vegas was going to do. Vegas held him pinned, with his hands on Kim's shoulders. "Close your eyes," he said, soothing and hypnotic. Kim did it. "Easy now," Vegas murmured. "I'm not going to hurt you. Hear that, Omega? You're safe. It's okay to come out. Let us see you, Kim's Omega surfaced so quickly it made him dizzy. It pressed Kim's body into the familiar touch of family and home. It wanted to trust Vegas. It always did. Kim's cheek rubbed against Vegas's, scenting him and being scented in return. "You're safe," his pack told him. "Shh, you're safe." The Omega purred in Kim's throat. Vegas cracked him across the face, with his family ring turned inward. Kim kept his eyes shut as his head bounced against the wall. He stopped the muscle memory that made him want to hit back, to kill. This is what he'd asked Vegas to do. "Idiot," Vegas said, his voice turned cruelly amused. "You always fall for it, don't you, Omega? Every single time." Vegas punctuated his words with blows, and Kim let them land. They weren't for him. They were for the part of him that was shivering, betrayed and scared by how quickly its pack had turned on it. I want you to remember the first time you texted me like this. You were sitting on your bathroom floor and you'd taken 3 showers. It had felt like Kim would never be clean again. Like it was impossible to wash the alpha stink off of him. Think about how their hands feel on your skin. It's always too much of something, isn't it? Too hard, too hot, too rough. Vegas's fingers wrapped around Kim's bare forearms, and Kim's body shuddered, revolted. Vegas continued, merciless as the memories themselves. The last mark Corin had you with, the Italian, what did he smell like? Kim's breath caught in his throat, because he knew. He could taste it on his tongue now, musty and disgusting. Vegas's hot breath hit his cheek, and Kim was choking. Is that what you want? Because that's what Porche Kitasawat can give you, Vegas said. Hey, Omega, I'm talking to you. Is that what you're gagging for? No. No, that wasn't what the Omega wanted at all. Slowly, it shook Kim's head. Then shut up and stay where my cousin fucking puts you, Vegas snarled. Vegas's methods had kept Kim alive and mostly sane for his entire adult life. When it came to their shared dynamic, Vegas had been right about every single thing. Kim shoved the Omega down as hard as he possibly could. It was cowed now. Afraid. It was so much easier to ignore how it pleaded for Che and Pack and Che, Che, Che. Kim was the one keeping them safe. The Omega needed to just shut up and be grateful. Kim opened his eyes and pushed Vegas away so hard that his cousin stumbled. Kim, however, felt steady again. He touched his bruised lip, and it came away wet. Asshole. Welcome back. Vegas straightened his shirt. Better? I fucking hate you. Oh yes, much better, Vegas mused. He danced out of the way of Kim's fists, and slipped past him into his bedroom. Stay out of there, Kim called, but also didn't try to stop him. There was going to be a day, probably soon, when Kim would have to pull a gun on Vegas to defend his brothers. But until then, he basked in the silence in his head and the ache in his jaw that only his Pack Omega could give him. Vegas was back in a few minutes, looking self-satisfied and punchable. See you around, cousin. He switched on a floor lamp on his way out. Kim went into his room and sat down on the edge of his bed. The gun was gone, and his pillow smelled like pepper and blood. Home. Kim wrapped the pillow in a strangling grip. He buried his face in it and breathed in as much of the scent as he could. The next day, Che and Porsche slept until noon. Porsche had thrown together an untidy nest on top of his bed, and they'd snuggled in together. Their scents had always perfectly mixed, and when Che woke up smelling them, he teared up before he could stop himself. He laid his head on Porsche's chest and pressed his ear to his heart so he could hear it beat. Porsche ran a sleepy hand down Che's back, not really awake. They talked a lot last night, about a job that wasn't on an island, and terrible bosses, and famous YouTube singers. Porsche hadn't really explained why having a terrible boss meant he had to reek of him, but Che wasn't stupid. He could figure it out. If Porsche wasn't ready to talk about it, he could wait. Besides,
Che hadn't exactly explained why he'd invited his idol to spend the night in their house, so they were even.
"You're sure I haven't met Kim before?" Porsche asked eventually, as the sun moved overhead and beat through their windows.
"I watch his videos a lot. You probably recognized him from that."
"He smelled familiar," Porsche mused. "Made me want to protect him. It was weird."
"You're Hia-shaped," Che said, unconcerned. "You see someone younger and you're like, my brother now."
Porsche scrubbed Che's head with his knuckles, making him squawk. "Like I need another little brat running around getting into trouble."
"I'm an angel," Che protested.
He groped blindly for a blanket to shove in Porsche's face.
"I'm a blessing. I only skipped school that one time."
"You did what now?" Che chuckled nervously.
"Oh, look, it's time to eat. I'll go heat up some leftovers, which we have a lot of for no particular reason."
"We're not done talking about this," Porsche threatened, as Che bounced out of the bed.
"Okay, and while we're sharing, you can tell me more about Kun Kin."
Che smiled sweetly at his brother's belligerent expression, until Porsche said grudgingly, "I guess one day off isn't going to ruin your college prospects."
"We're not done talking about this," Che mimicked.
Porsche flopped back onto the bed and pulled a blanket over his head. "Leave me alone, I'm on vacation."
"Okay, okay."
Porsche peeked over the top of the blanket.
"Bring me some breakfast?"
"It's lunch now."
"Lunch, then?"
Porsche said hopefully. Che put his hands on his hips, barely stopping his laughter. With his family back, laughter came so easily.
"I think you should get up."
Porsche knew this game. It was an old, familiar comfort. He made his face go pleading and pathetic.
"I'm tired," he whined. "I've raised a brat," Che mused.
Porsche settled into the pillows.
"Right back at ya."
Che loved giving Porsche anything, of course, but food was always a special joy. It was amazing to open the fridge and see more than a carton of eggs and a bottle of soy sauce. Granted, Che had picked their pantry clean, making food for Kim, but Porsche had a good job now. They could buy more eventually. The thought of Kim made Che's stomach twist. He'd been avoiding the topic by concentrating on his pack. But the more he tried to focus on Porsche, the more he was beginning to suspect his internal definition of pack might be expanding. He pulled his phone out of his pocket and opened his text chain with Kim. He scrolled up through his messages, sent last night and today when he'd woken up. "Che, I'm sorry again. I'm glad you felt comfortable leaving, but I'm sorry you felt like you had to. Text me when you get home safe." Two hearts emoji times two. "If you want to." "Porsche wants to know why the whole house smells like a restaurant, lol. Cry laughing emoji times three. Should I tell him?" "Good night, P. Kim." Heart emoji. "Good morning! How did you sleep?" "I guess it's not really morning anymore, but I'm counting it because I just got up. Gotta get my brother food because he's on vacation." The younger sibling burden. Strong arm emoji. Steam from nose emoji. "I hope you're eating lunch too. Do you have enough fruit at your house?" Che sighed. Clingy. Much too clingy. He knew that about himself. It was a deadly cocktail of instinct and watching everyone he ever loved walk away and leave him in the dust. Knowing about it couldn't seem to make it stop, however. He was already feeling the urge to text Kim again. Just to make sure of... Che didn't even know what. He was such a basket case, honestly. It wasn't surprising that Kim wasn't texting him back. Why would he? He was Kim, and Che was the little gnat buzzing around him, getting in his face and ruining his life, probably. His phone lit up in his hand. From Kim, heart emoji. Taylor Builders Edition, 517E Grand Pacific. The relief punched him so hard in the chest that he had to blink wetness from his eyes. Then he did a quick Google search. That's a beautiful guitar. How does it play? Assertively. P. Kim, two hearts emoji. With all respect, two hearts emoji times two. That makes absolutely no sense. Two hearts emoji times three. It does. Too advanced for my beginner knowledge, I guess. Guitar emoji. Downcast face emoji. Raised fist emoji. But I trust you. Audio recording. The file was about 30 seconds of a truly impressive classical guitar piece. The notes intricate and bold. It did sound like the music was grabbing your attention, making itself known. At the very end, there was the sound of an inhale, like Kim was going to speak, and then decided not to. Che listened to the recording four times, and then saved it on his phone. Che, I think I get it. Don't put that on the fan wiki. If anyone else tried to listen to this recording, I would literally fight them. Fist emoji. Fist emoji times two. I feel like there is judgment in your silence. I'll have you know I am very tough. Angry emoji times three. Okay. OMG, texting with you is hilarious. I've texted you before. Sparkle emoji. Wick. Sparkle emoji. Texted me. Totally different vibes, you know? Wow, really? Haha, that's so crazy. Smiling emoji with tongue. Skull emoji times three. My eyeballs are sad now. Peace sign emoji. Some of the tension Che had carried around with him since last night eased. Kim was still talking to him. He'd left, but he wasn't gone. That was enough for now. Author's notes. Porsche, meeting Kim. Oh hey, it's a free pup! Vegas. Oh? Everyone, not for you! Before he was distracted by the squeaky sound of the front gate. Oh no, I have to figure out how to voice Porsche! I skimmed the rest of the chapter and oh, I am unwell about it. I am unwell about this chapter. It's kicking in. Che shifted, bracing himself under his brother's weight, taking his turn holding them up. You know? Che let himself imagine what it would be like if the people he cared about actually stayed with him. And then Kim turned on his heel and walked out.
He let himself imagine what it would be like if the people he cared about stayed with him. Baby boy, no. Ouch. That line, though. Anyways.
Reader's notes.
Chapters that make you want to lie down on the floor and cry?
It's really starting to kick in here. I'm so insane about Kim and Vegas in this. Their dynamic is so... The way they're so close, but also don't trust each other, and they're so unhealthy, but he's the person he both most and least trusts. He thinks that Vegas has always been right. The way... It's so good. It's such an interesting dynamic, and I love it. And, oh, all this stuff. Did I have to Google, five emojis when I read this? Yeah, it's fine. I'm love reading emojis. I've already recorded 2 chapters today. I should probably stop and do the things that I'm supposed to be doing.